This is a tripod broadcast.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now. Not then. Also, if you want to know, like the among the all the stupid, terrible things that happened to me the other night, you can see the mattress.
Yeah, why does your mattress have a boner?
Yeah, it has just like a real big, just dick ridge. Right in the middle of it.
Yeah,
just,
that's exactly what it looks
giant
like. To be
dick
honest,
ridge.
Yeah.
Well, it's since it's had a fat man laying on it for the past 4 months, you can see
who's
four
the
or
you
five
have
months.
A man staying with you.
Yeah, a much fatter man staying with me.
Okay.
No, you can see the ridges. See the ridge?
Yeah.
One entire ridge, the glue just went boop. I had it standing up there, and I'm watching TV here one night.
And you just hear it?
And I hear it pop out of the corner, and I'm like, what was that? And I see this bubble.
They're shooting at you.
Start to bubble up
right
on the top of it. And then over the course of about 3 hours, it just went all the way down.
So...
And now it's seriously like I...
So what's it like sleeping on that?
It's... It's honestly like having somebody sleep next to you,
uh-huh.
But knowing
but that you don't want there.
Knowing at any time that they could just burst and just
so most of the just I'm gonna let that
just,
go.
Just burst with a like a bunch of stale air.
So
it's like sleeping with me.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So it's like having two of you in.
Yeah, basically, it's like sleeping with myself.
Right.
Like. I've told you before that I've woken myself up farting before, right?
If you... I don't know that you have.
No, this is... It's happened.
I believe that.
Because I wake up and you... like
with the noise or the smell?
No.
Because that's the key. Because if noise, it's the noise, then...
The man, noise will wake me up, but I don't recognize the noise. And then I smell it.
What is that? Oh, that's what that
I'm
was.
I'm like, what was that? What was that noise? And then I smell it, and then it's like,
hold on.
Wow.
We have a cable issue here. Okay.
All right, we're good. We're relocated. I don't know if it'll sound any different. It doesn't sound a whole lot different. It sounds a little quieter. What was that noise?
That was a fart.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome. Should I close that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, unless you want to have the cars going by. Like you hear this guy on his moped?
It's a motorcycle.
Oh. Well, there's a guy on a moped who about four.
This is Give That Some Thought.
Okay.
I'm Addison. Joining me now, I'm going to cut that out. Joining me now is my co-host, a man who takes his honorary uncle duties very seriously.
Very seriously.
Matt Hume. On that note, yeah, we took a week off because I fathered a child. That's my phone. It's vibrating.
Yep.
Seriously? You texted, like, couldn't you have just said whatever this is, whatever this
I wanted you to get
text
the link.
Is that FCC, what is, what? Why do I have to look at this right now?
No, it's just going to be one thing that we could talk about if we ran out of topics that you want to talk about, because I know you have
I've got
a lot
three
of
pages of topics, Matt. I told you I did show prep.
Okay, well, this
what
is, was...
What does the term show prep mean to you?
All right. Show prep.
Yes, show okay. prep. Anyways, God. Okay, so the first thing, we'll pull that up later if we run out of
you
time.
You being a dad
which we
is
won't.
Just...
Yeah, I have to muscle
irritable.
The kid all the time, yeah.
You have no. to muscle him already? Is he that big?
Well, here's the deal. I had a kid.
First off, congratulations, Addison.
Thank you. I had a kid, not I personally, my wife, but by extension... I had a kid. And I'm a
but
father
you were
now.
Involved in the making.
I was, yes. Well, in the making and also the delivering.
In the planning, at least.
Yeah. I said a number of things. We had a video camera set up in the room during the delivery, and I said a number of things on that tape that there are certain people in my family that will go unmentioned, will go unnamed. I'll tell you afterwards if you really want to know.
They won't like it?
No. Well, they're to them.
Oh, okay.
They came up in conversation because by that point, she had already had her epidural. She didn't feel a thing. So we were just laughing and joking. It was because her aunt on her dad's side was the delivery nurse. Mm-hmm. And so it was basically me just keeping the room in stitches, pun intended.
Gotcha.
while my wife delivered a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there were certain things, certain people in the family that came up on the, or during the, that process.
That she was talking about?
That different people mentioned, yeah, uh-huh. whether my aunt or my wife or myself, that I said, and I looked right in the camera and said, this is to you. You know, if they ever asked to see the tape, I'm going to say, oh, sure, yeah, you can see that. Because it was set up from an angle that wasn't compromising, but.
What was the camera angle?
It was kind of over her shoulder. So, no, you could see me real clearly, uh-huh. And you could see kind of the doctors and nurses kind of reaction and their what they were doing
yeah.
fairly clearly, but you couldn't see any plumbing, as it were.
Well, obviously not, but yeah. I mean, I have to say obviously not, but like if I was to film, like I would want at least a three-camera right. setup. You got one for, you got one.
Three cameras. So hold yeah. on. In your ideal scenario, when you have a kid, it's on a hit sitcom.
No.
Three camera, no. unscripted, and a laugh track? Or no?
No laugh track.
No laugh track.
No laugh track.
Three cameras are okay.
But you have though. At least three cameras set up. Okay. One to get my reaction, one to get my wife's reaction, yeah. and then one for
just the for guts.
The money shot.
The guts,
we could right. say.
The plumbing.
Well, the action.
Yeah. Well, it is action.
Did you, okay. I don't want to get too weird and too lewd, but...
We may have already gone there, but yeah.
Okay, did you watch the actual birth?
I watched everything.
Did you see? So you saw the baby coming out of her birth canal?
Yes, I saw the baby coming out. I watched when she got the epidural, the you know the big needle that goes... That was
into the spine?
That was really cool. I thought that was really cool. Like, I thought I was like watching a...
Yeah, seeing your wife getting, or something.
It was really cool.
Punched in the spine with a giant needle.
Yeah, it's just always something I've wanted to see. And uh-huh. so it was really cool. It was a great experience overall. Yeah, it was really cool. And it was funny because, okay, I'll get into this and then we'll move on. But so as you know, we didn't know whether it was a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
It was a boy, Lucas Alexander. But so the baby comes out as they do. And the doctor takes kind of his right hand and he says to my wife, he's like, reach down and grab the baby, you know, as it's coming out. And she reaches down and grabs the baby and he keeps his hand kind of on the kid's butt. Right. Mm-hmm. And just kind of lifts him up onto, my wife up to where mm-hmm. she's at. And, so he has his hand on there the whole time and I'm just watching. I'm like, is it a boy or a girl? Is it a boy or a girl? Like, and by the way, that made the whole thing way more exciting. Because yeah. as we were getting close, like whenever they're like, okay, it's time to push, like we're like, we're going to find out whether it's a boy or a girl. Like it totally took any sure. kind of apprehension or anything out.
We're going to find out whether we're going to be really excited or really disappointed.
Exactly. Right then. Uh-huh. Yeah. So he...
really excited or have to buy hormone pills for the next 12 years.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the two. Uh-huh. do I need to buy a gun or two guns is what I need. Is what
okay.
Is, yeah. Gotcha. At that point. Yeah. Because if it's a girl, I need to buy me a gun, mm-hmm. obviously. If it's a boy, I need to buy me and him a gun so then we can bond over that.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Anyways, so he has his hand on his butt and he lifts him up and I'm just watching. I'm like, is it a boy? Is it a boy? And he pulls his hand away and I'm sorry, but I just see balls. And I'm like, I'm like, there's balls. It's a boy. And I put my hands up
nice.
Over my head and I was just like, it's a boy. Yeah, it was awesome.
So what made you... Decide
on have
name.
A kid?
No.
Oh.
No. Lucas Alexander. What made you decide on that name?
Lucas
was
Alexander.
It, was it your choice? Was it her choice?
It was both, which I didn't think we were going to come to with the boy's name. Uh-huh. The girl's name we decided before she was even showing. And we decided really solidly on
Amelia Bedelia?
Yes. Yeah. We both. Yeah. Because gotcha. The books and the influence and everything.
Well, yeah. They're really popular books. They're really good books, too.
Yeah, absolutely yeah. they are.
Kind of. I mean, they're kind of wordy, but you know.
But that's good.
Yeah,
for a young,
a really good plot.
A young brain. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So
and a great subplot with dealing with Amelia Bedelia's nymphomania. So that was pretty good too.
Now I really want to reread all the books.
Don't
just,
you though?
And read that into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways,
you can if you're a 14-year-old.
Yeah, because if you go to the library and you're like, "Where's the Amelia Bedelia section?" and you're over like 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna be like. Okay, pedophile.
Yeah, I'm doing a high school report on historical fiction, and I just wanted to...
Yeah. Not Catcher in the Rye or Tale of Two Cities or any of those other things mm-hmm. you have to read in high school, but just point me in the Amelia Bedelia
yeah,
area.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, we decided on a girl's name, and then I love the name Alexander. I think it's, like, the manliest name mm-hmm. In the world. and but she didn't like I gave her a bunch of suggestions for middle names and all this kind of stuff, and then she came up with the name Lucas, and she was like I like it either way, Alexander Lucas or Lucas Alexander, and I'm mm-hmm. like, well, I think I like Lucas Alexander better of those two. So Lucas Alexander was brought into the world on the 31st.
Yeah,
at 10 to 7. So
nice.
It's 8 pounds 14 ounces.
Nice. I'm a and father. When he becomes an actor, he can go by the moniker L.A. Todd. And
I didn't think of that, but that's I'm glad that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But all in all, it's cool.
Sounds
being
better
a dad.
Than A.L. Todd.
Yeah. All in all, it's cool being a
well,
dad.
Yeah. Congratulations.
He's kind of a disappointment, though.
Well, all children are, but I
well,
mean, still.
But you know, he's been out like a week and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
No job.
Yep.
No girlfriend.
Okay.
No real goals for
so
life.
So he's a slow starter.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I don't know whether he's kind of, I think he comes across as a liberal and, uh-huh. and I'm,
oh,
not,
okay. so
I'm not one to judge.
He and I are going to get along great.
Yeah. There's a reason why you haven't met him yet.
Is that it?
Well, I want him to be old enough to be able to throw daddy's opinions in your face.
Okay.
At gotcha. Your opinions, as opposed to being open-minded and having, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want him to form opinions on his own. He needs to get daddy's. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I'm going to start playing Ron Paul speeches, you know, for him to fall asleep to.
Yeah.
And sort of bring him over to our Lord and Father, Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh.
Start studying some of his works, some of his speeches.
Yeah.
Trickle-down economics, things
like
that.
The words of Ronald Reagan.
Yes. So
mm-hmm.
that way he can come into the light.
Yeah.
And then get a job and be a productive member of society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyways, I had a kid. Is the long and short of that.
Is he already covered by Obamacare? Or
you know, I'm not sure. I haven't gotten the bill for his birth yet.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, that's going to be...
Yeah.
I want to look at that bill because...
I think it's going to cost a few bucks.
Probably. I want to see how much it costs to
they
have
don't,
a baby.
Well, we were trying to have him the weekend before because they had a $28.95, you know, special, you know...
Okay.
Where you can have a kid for 30 bucks.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he was doing his own thing, and obviously, you know,
yeah.
like he's been doing since he got out.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he didn't come on the
They should make birth like a tap at the restaurant. Like if you can't pay your bill
you wash
before you leave the
or,
hospital, you got to wash dishes or like
right.
wash out bedpans until
yeah, clean up some afterbirth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then
you just get rid of placenta until your bill is paid.
Plus,
your kid's 4 years old
kids.
Walking out of you at the hospital for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's a good plan. I like what we should do is draw up because we have Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have stated both of our
well,
differences.
We don't have Obamacare because we're patriots and freedom-loving Americans.
Well, right.
But other people out there who've been deceived by the great liar,
yes, all,
Barack Obama.
Satan, all, yeah.
Or Beezy.
Yeah, exactly. But we've stated our concerns with the program as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'd be interesting to come up with a written Matcare and then just how it would work. On a societal level,
mm-hmm.
so maybe some prices, some price guidelines,
when
you're not allowed to have kids, things like that.
Yeah, just across the board, I would say that a 1% corporate tax on any just 1%. If you are a corporation, if you have more than
real quick, ladies and gentlemen, that's a new record. We're 13 minutes into the show, and Matt has attacked corporations. So
I'm saying capitalism.
No,
is
13 minutes
isn't bad, but
you'll get your medal
at the heart
way
of capitalism
it's
is
fine.
Corporatism.
You'll get your
and
medal
it
on
eventually,
the way out for
it,
breaking the
eventually
record.
Eventually, it diverges into corporatism, and that's what's destroying America. It's,
what episode is this? 24.
Yeah,
John, 24. You broke your record for attacking corporations.
Well, obviously, we're going to talk about McCutcheon a little bit. At least I want to bring up McCutcheon. The step two to Citizens United, which now has we just completely taken off any restrictions on how frequently you can give to a candidate and how much money you can give to a candidate and how many different candidates you can give
as a corporation or an individual,
as both,
really.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I'm certainly in favor of one mm-hmm. Individual. You know, if you make your money as an individual, you should be able to give it to whoever you want. I believe
now there's
that.
There's a supposed limit of, I think it's...
Because at a certain point, if a corporation is given to a campaign or a cause or something like that, well, it's just stylized lobbyism, isn't it?
But
like, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's $1,500 is the amount that is the least amount or is the most amount that an individual can give to another individual's campaign.
Right. Okay. Which I think is
it's still $1,500. But reasonable. If you want to, you can give $1,500 to every single person who's running for office in the United States now with McCutcheon, which means that that it opens up the door for every politician
mm-hmm.
to be beholden to George Soros and the Koch brothers.
Uh-huh. And everybody
Donald
that gets.
Trump and every so if I wanted to really influence politics, or Richard Adelson, you know, the super Hebrew guy who Christie had to go apologize to last week. Anyway, it's a monsoon for money now.
I had a son. That's the bottom line. And his politics.
Congratulations.
Are a bit under question in the Todd home.
Well, you know.
So.
I think once he's able to hold his head up on his own, he'll start.
He can do that.
Really?
Yeah, which is really surprising. Even the doctor said it's surprising because he, usually babies, you know, like you made that joke because usually babies can't hold their head up. This guy.
For a couple months or something like that.
Yeah, no, but he, like, I was holding him even before I came over here, just, mm-hmm. you know, on the typical, like, over the shoulder kind of. And he brings his head up and then he just kind of looks around and then he puts it back down. He doesn't hold it up like you and I do. But no, he lifts his head up.
Scoping for the ladies. That's what he's doing.
I think so. Which, again, job or girlfriend, I'll take either one.
Okay.
Because one takes, you know, whichever one you want to put your time and efforts into as a young man in my home.
We know that liberals don't have girlfriends.
Right. Yep. Exactly. So either one that you want to bring into the home, a job or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid he bring a man home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways.
That would just be the worst thing ever, right?
It would be. That said... That said, let's do a quick plug for our other show, TV Teardown. We're going to do a new episode soon.
Yep.
I've been backed up, obviously, with having a kid, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But, we already discussed True Detective, which was an amazing show, and House of Cards Season 2. So, and some other segments and stuff that we want to do on a regular basis that we've dropped in there, too.
Yeah.
So.
But there's a couple other shows that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones just started.
Yeah.
This past Sunday.
Yeah.
And I've watched the new episode 3 times already.
Wow.
So.
And it's Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably watch it once more before the first one. Because it's just, it's so nice to have more Game of Thrones now.
Because I don't watch that. But I'll give you the chance to.
You should watch a couple episodes with me. You really should. Just to get the overall vibe.
We'll see. Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
It's no promises.
Okay.
But I'll give you a we'll see. The other thing, real quick, which I know you're excited about, I called you Saturday morning, talked on the phone, and it was before noon. And I was like, Matt, what are you doing up? And you're like, well, you know, I think you said your mom texted you and it woke you up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you were like, watching last night's baseball game.
Yeah.
So, and the point that I made was that you were watching an event which had already happened.
And that I already knew the score of.
That the score is usually posted as it happens.
I had already found out the score, yes.
And not only that, but it was a game where we got, from what I understand, soundly beaten.
It was 12-4, yeah. We
got hammered.
Pretty thoroughly.
So you knew it was a bad game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't a good game.
Yep.
You knew the score already.
Yep.
Yet you were watching the game.
Yeah. I really want to watch as many games as I can this year on TV if
that's
I can.
That's
100 games I want to watch.
That's Cardinal the stupidest games. Thing I've ever heard.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, I've...
Because I'll keep talking and you'll hear something more stupid.
No, exactly. Well, the show's not over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we peak at stupidity about minute 45.
That's true, yeah. And then we try and bring it back around and then we close. Yeah.
But no, I'm going to watch at least 100 St. Louis Cardinal
that's
games.
So sad.
Hopefully this year. I've watched every one so far.
Which is how many? So what are you up to?
I think 9.
And they're didn't you say today. Saturday you wanted to watch 70% 8. Of them live?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many have you watched live so far?
I don't know. I think I've lost count, like 5 or 6.
Now, what do you do?
It's
if
not
going
to be an exact number, but I just want to watch as many as I can. Yeah.
So if you don't watch them live, what do you just have them on DVR and MLB Network or something?
Well, usually they'll play them. Like the Cardinals have a whole channel. It's called Fox Sports Midwest. And they're supposed to play like blues games and like college stuff on it, but it's just Cardinals. Anytime it's a Cardinal season, it's always Cardinals.
Yeah.
So they play the game at least twice a day. If it's a night game, they'll do a replay like the next day at noon, and if it's a day game, they'll replay it like at 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. They just do that. So people like me who aren't on everybody else's schedule or aren't on a baseball schedule, full stop.
Can watch baseball.
Can watch baseball at their leisure.
That's very sad.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on.
It's a great
on.
Channel.
Bit of news that happened today, which will be really current when this episode goes out later. I don't know where it will. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon now, so this may be like a midnight show. But yeah, Colbert got the late show. Stephen Colbert.
He got it for sure?
Yes.
Because I know
his statement is out.
He's taking it?
It's out, yeah.
Wow.
Comedy Central already issued a statement saying, you know, we've had X number of years with him. Good luck, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
So what I want to know is, is he taking the character with him? Because I don't think
he
can do that. So, because...
Well, they're very different styles of shows.
Comedy Central ultimately controls the intellectual property that is the Colbert Report.
The Colbert Report, right.
And I think that character is tied, that he plays on that show, is tied to... Because obviously, if
that
you watch
contract
two shows,
and that job...
Like, Jon Stewart doesn't play a character on The Daily Show.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But Stephen Colbert obviously does.
Mm-hmm.
So, is he taking that character with him? I don't think he can. And if he can, that's a lot of his appeal. That was most of his appeal when he was a correspondent for The Daily Show, was that tongue-in-cheek, Republican,
it's poking fun. It's a parody, really.
Yeah, it's a conglomeration of like, Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly.
Right. Yeah, and that's really interesting because CBS, I mean, obviously the late show is like a late night show. You know, typical, you have stuff on, you know, maybe there's gags and things like that. Which, on one hand, I think that he could bring something with his talent, because he's certainly a talented, guy, you know, he does real good. But I think he could bring some talent to that format.
Sure.
But, yeah, he's either going to have to do that or... Because it's not going to be the Colbert Report. It's going to be a different show. And he's going to have to do that type of show, that type of late night talk show. And
yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it. You know, I'm sure I'll watch some. He's not going to dethrone my boy Kimmel, though.
No, but I was actually looking at, like, I want to see the late night TV ratings to see where he's at right now.
Well, I think and isn't what's-his-face number one? The guy that just got...
Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking at it right now.
Kimmel's my favorite, though. Because I think he's really doing some stuff that at least is inventive and kind of changing the game a little bit.
Late night TV ratings for March 31st, April 4th. We'll see what this turns up. Anyway, while we're on the subject, the question comes to me now is what's going to fill up that half hour that he leaves now?
On Comedy Central?
On Comedy Central, because
Comedy Central has a pretty solid...
Well, for the past 15 years, they've had The Daily Show, but for the past 10, that's been a juggernaut that really has competed with network or basic cable.
In that time slot,
late night shows. You know, they have the 11 o'clock time slot.
See, or maybe this
is
the change, though, because Fallon, you know, everybody had these types of conversations when Fallon took over because he's so much younger, you know, and that kind of thing. So maybe this is the switch for people... You know, our age that are going to watch more network TV instead of flipping on Comedy Central late at night. You know? Yeah. But then there is, because you mentioned Chris Hardwick's show at midnight, which we both love too. So,
yeah.
The premise at least. I mean, there's been some duds, but.
It looks like right now, Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon's number one, Late Show's number two, ABC's Jimmy Kimmel's number three.
Yeah.
That's
probably what I would have guessed.
Yeah. In the 12:35 time slot, Seth Meyers, late night, outscored CBS's late show with Craig Ferguson.
And then now, out of curiosity, where's Arsenio? is he not on that list?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, well, maybe there's another list.
Yeah.
Different list of different...
But see, here it doesn't show...
shows that aren't watched.
Well, no, it doesn't show. It only shows
the talent.
Oh, here we go.
Whatever.
Yeah, it looks like
Arsenio's number 65.
No, it looks like The Daily Show beat Late Night or The Late Show.
Really?
Which is, yeah, that's That's Letterman's time slot.
Yeah, CBS.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that goes and back
and forth.
The
Colbert Report does just a little worse than The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
Conan does much worse than either of those.
Right.
Yeah, actually Adult Swim beats The Colbert Report.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I think there's an age gap, you know, because it probably like, what, 25 and under are watching...
Well, here's the exact number. The Daily Show gets 1.64 million viewers. The Colbert Report, 1.356. Conan, 0.8. Yeah.
Wow, Conan, geez, step up your game.
But those numbers, yeah, but yeah. Colbert Report's even getting beat by Adult Swim 12:30 to, no, never mind, or 11:30. Yeah, wow. Anyway, but to me, I don't know. It seems like he has such a niche market right now.
Mm-hmm.
He has probably the most rabid fan base in late night.
Yeah.
If you're a Colbert fan, you are a Colbert fan.
Well, that's the thing. I think the age is what they're tapping into. They're hoping that he can bring his talent to a different format of show.
Yeah.
And I hope he can,
but
too.
The reason that age group likes a show is because it's so tongue-in-cheek, and the character is so over the top. It's right. The character that sells right. The act. It's not him... interviewing guests.
Or that format or whatever, right.
It's not him interviewing guests and having a monologue.
Which is what he'll be doing.
Yeah.
Because that's what The Late Show is.
Yeah, yeah.
To compete with, you know, those
it's
top
the character.
Three.
I honestly hope he brings the character with him, because I'd like to see what he can do with an hour. But then at the same time, I don't know.
And that's a different market. That's cable TV. You have a lot more of your... Because especially for Letterman, like, look at how old Letterman is and mm-hmm. how long he's been doing that. And he's a good job. He's a talented individual, great show, whatever. But
he's bored with it, too.
Yeah, but who watches Letterman? Like, our parents, right? Like, you know, people older than us.
So
it's going to be difficult to capture
that. Because
what are they going to watch? Because Leno's gone.
Not
they
our switch parents. Over to Leno. Our parents watched Leno.
Right.
But they're not really watching anything anymore. I remember growing up that Letterman was too blue. Like, you never watched late night shows because they were always too blue.
But they would watch Jay Leno?
No, not even Jay Leno because he was too raunchy.
Right, yeah.
Because it was just the whole late night thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was very clear that Letterman was much worse than Leno.
Huh.
I
don't know if the last bluer. 10 years would reflect
yeah,
that,
I don't think so either. But my late night go-to is... It's Comedy Central, Daily Show, Colbert Report, and At Midnight. And honestly, I spend most of my time during the Colbert Report, like, channel surfing.
Yeah.
Flipping it on debate. Like, it's usually Daily Show, Baseball Tonight for a half an hour, and then At Midnight.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll
I
see.
I really don't care either way, though, even though we just talked about it for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Anyways, and here's okay, so this... This happened to me the other day. Okay. I logged on to Facebook. Yeah, you're beginning to see my notes here. This happened to me the other day. I logged on to Facebook, which I'm not... I don't really like Facebook anymore. I'll be honest. I really don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to provide a reason why.
Okay.
I'm not going to mention this person's name, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're one of my friends. Friend of a friend, really.
Yeah.
And he or she, I logged on. I'm just scrolling my feed on my phone, you know, just not really intense, not really doing anything per se. I'm just flipping through posts. And I see this one. And the reason why it catches my eye, because people can post this stuff all the time and get one or two likes, and I don't mind that. But you can see the number there, 17 likes in 4 hours.
Yeah.
It says 4 hours ago is when he posted. 17 people that are his friends or her friends
mm-hmm.
like this post.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now I'm going to spell asshole wrong.
Is that the biggest problem with it that you see?
No. It's also the word your.
You are.
Is
spelled
your.
Well, it is very bad spelling, but I'm.
But it's not spelled er. I hate that. You are.
Yeah, I hate it.
Just
I don't even
you
do it
are
in text.
To be your.
I don't do it in text either. It's like people are like, oh, it's shorthand. It's easier. I don't care. I don't care.
No.
I'd rather be grammatically correct and type out my sentences and my words.
Yeah, here's the thing. Every 4 or 5 days, I need a little refresher course
uh-huh.
on the correct correct usage of U-O or Y-O-U-R-E,
yeah.
Y-O-U-R, Y-O-U apostrophe, right. Whatever. I need that refresher course every week or so.
So you log on to Twitter?
Typing does that for me. Typing the correct usage and pronunciation in text and things on the internet, it does that for me.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that people who are shorthand, if your brain isn't doing it on a regular basis,
yeah.
And it's not something that's extremely important,
uh-huh.
like syntax,
uh-huh.
your brain's going to forget it eventually.
Yeah, absolutely.
So every time you shorthand something in a text or something, you are
throwing that away.
You're throwing away all the grammar that you mm-hmm. use. And most children and most kids and most young people...
Constantly. They're constantly doing it,
but they also... Most kids who graduate high school, and I'm talking for the past 50 years, they don't have a proper grasp on grammar anyway.
Yeah.
Because as soon mm-hmm. as they have to learn it, as soon as the test is over, they forget it. Because
mm-hmm.
we've spent 50 years in America learning that way. You learn for tests. No, you don't. You learn for life.
Yeah.
You learn so that you can remember it forever.
Right.
For the rest of time.
Right.
Okay? Until you die and become worm's food. So you can remember that
right.
knowledge. Not so that you can pass a stupid test.
And by worm's food, he means heaven.
Yep, yeah. Because to me, heaven is worm's food.
Heaven Anyways, is I'm going to read
dry,
this
crunchy leaves and dirt.
Yeah, I'm going to read this post. This is a real post. There was nobody tagged in it. He doesn't call anybody out by mm-hmm. name. But this is he or she. This is the post. It's just a text post of a status update on Facebook. I'm going to read it and I'm going to edit it as we read it.
Okay.
And I think you'll be able to get the words that were probably mm-hmm. used there.
By the way, "ur" is pronounced "er," so pronounce it "er," please.
Will do. Okay.
Like. Yeah, from okay. came like Abram came up from Ur.
From Ur, right.
Okay.
Right.
Ur.
Right. Here's the post. Grow up.
Mm.
Be an effing man. Ur nothing.
Thank you.
Ur nothing but a self-absorbed a-hole that only cares about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I told myself I would never trust a cheater or someone who mentally abuses a relationship, and that the I is not capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a single platform on the planet that does not capitalize I after doing it.
Yeah.
Every platform, every computer, every browser.
If you type a small case, when I'm texting.
We've talked about your phone.
I know. Continue.
Anyways, and that I stand by. Have fun being a low-life, worthless a-hole. No one deserves your crap. You're 31. There's a reason you're single.
Mm-hmm.
17 people like that in 4 hours. It may be more now. I haven't checked.
Yeah.
17 people like that. And I pulled it out. I screenshotted it. I pulled it out to read on this show because that is my problem with Facebook. That right there. It's not the ads. It's not the branding. Because that's a platform that's in everybody's face. Of course, it's going to be used for ads.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to be used. Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest advertising network, basically. Mm-hmm. Best way to get your ads in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's just business. That's how it's done. We're always going to look at ads on everything that we ever look at
sure.
as humans. If someone can pay to put it in front of our face, they will.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with the fact that 17 people, three or four of which would be my best guess, know about this situation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So three or four people.
If that. I would say it's probably one or two.
Right.
Because people don't post these on Facebook
mm-hmm.
if the person that they're about can see them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that they can air out their drama in front of other people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And get people to pat them on the back and confirm the
right.
fact that, oh yeah, that guy is a jerk. You're better off without him, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so that once again, what is it about, Addison?
Emotional masturbation.
Emotional masturbation.
We haven't brought that term up in a number of episodes.
Yes, but that's to me why I don't have a Facebook. Because
yeah.
that's almost all of what Facebook is.
Well, in newsflash, the only thing you're missing is scrolling a bunch of junk like this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is.
I know.
And a ton of ads.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, I don't really, I mean, of course, it's a platform that everyone's looking at. So, of course,
yeah.
people are going to pay to put
and
things
meme,
in front of your face.
And memes that don't make any sense if you
yes.
actually think about
yep.
them and really,
yep.
like, break them down
Facebook,
logically.
The home of bad memes
yeah.
and personal drama.
But here, okay, so
Zuck should use that as a new tagline.
Yeah.
Redesign it. Anyways, yeah, that was the status. That's my problem with Facebook. And really, the problem is not that he or she is going through whatever this is, whether it's a relationship or a relationship that he heard about or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's caught up in, he or she is caught up in a TV show. I don't care. Whatever this is about, that's your own business. Mm-hmm. Great. But the fact that 17 people like this, that's what I have a problem with.
Yeah.
What causes you to give the old thumbs up to that kind of junk, that kind of drivel in front of your face? I'll never do that. And people in my family post things like this. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. People that I'm really close to, my personal good friends post things like this. You'll never get a like out of
it. Here's why. This sort of ultra triumphant post in which you never actually name the bad guy.
Right.
It's just the good guy. It's the good guy giving a monologue to the bad guy. But without the drama or the awkwardness of the bad guy being there to hear the monologue. So everybody likes to be on the side of the underdog, the person who gets... Everybody has a tell a person off fantasy.
Yeah.
Where you have a... right? Where you daydream that you're just telling... You tell this person off and you...
And they
pick
just
the exact
get
words.
Get the whole minute
and
the
lesson. They just stand there with a blank expression on their face and they're speechless because they're so shocked at the power of your verbiage.
Right.
And the ability to bring down a fire and brimstone monologue on them.
Right.
That completely obliterates and makes them feel like a terrible low-life person who should probably just die already, okay? Everybody has that fantasy.
Uh-huh.
This right here feeds into it.
Yeah.
He's using the Facebook format not so that the person can see, so that he can tell the person off.
And get an idea of what they're doing
wrong.
But
what he's doing is it's closer to sexting to me.
And narcissism.
It's closer to sexting than it is to social interaction, because what he's doing is... He's getting all the emotional. He's getting off emotionally
of that, right?
Yeah, with none of the risk.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
None
of the risk of actually saying, so and so's a jerk.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because no one's going to come up to him like later on the street,
him or her, type
a response and be like, so tell me about the parameters of this
whole
situation.
Give me the story.
Yeah, no one's going to listen to that situation logically and then be like, well, you know what? You're kind of in the wrong here. No one's going to tell them that.
Yeah.
They're going to feed into this emotional
BS.
Oh, totally.
Right.
Because everybody likes to identify with the hero.
Uh-huh. And then you have the group.
He seems like a triumphant person right now.
Right.
Because he's posting on Facebook.
Him or her. He or she.
Yeah, but all it is it's passive aggression. And
narcissism.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I feel this way, so I've got to say it because it's my opinion, and of course it's right. And this person, whoever they're talking about, is so much bad and all these other things.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but I saw that. I wanted to talk about that. I knew it'd be some good conversation.
Yeah.
And it's just sad because that's all you scroll on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, I...
And ads. And like I said, I have no problem
with
ads. You
know, what you should do is just leave Facebook.
Well, I manage our pages,
leave
our podcast
like
pages. I like to say that what I use it for, it's really good at, and that's if I want to let my family know something without actually like texting them.
Yeah.
Which maybe we could talk about that too. But you know, it's a good way. Like the picture that my son that I showed you before we started, it's a great place to post that. You know, here's my kid. You know, he was sleeping. Isn't he adorable? Oh, everybody, hey, like your kid's so cute. Like that's what it's good for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's good for. You put that on there, and everyone can see it. And then I don't have to actually initiate individual conversation with every. I don't have to send that to 30 people. I can just post it on Facebook, and anyone who's my friend will see it. And yay, your kid.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's, to me, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And advertising, which is a form of what I'm doing with, you know, the page that I manage, like our show. You know?
I think it's pretty much just for advertising and morons.
Speaking of that, facebook.com/givethatsomethought.
Yeah, exactly.
Go like it. You won't find any terrible memes.
facebook.com/givethatsomethought, all advertising and morons.
Yeah.
That's what's on Facebook. But no, I think, we've gone through so many phases.
What does that make us?
Yeah, I know, right?
Let's move on.
We've gone through so many phases of social media, from MySpace to Facebook, now Twitter. I don't think we're going to have a fourth big thing that everybody uses. I think now we're going to see people splinter off into some people use Facebook, some people use Twitter, some people use
Google Plus.
Some people,
people
use
like
Google
me,
Plus.
Right.
Some people use Tumblr, right? Some people use
Instagram.
That's
a good point. And a lot of people think
Pinterest.
That because they've started to get...
But they're all social networks where you can share your ideas and what you're thinking and interesting things you found. Another one is Reddit. Reddit is pretty much just a giant social network, and that's kind of in a nutshell. That's
a lot more anonymity.
That's pretty
normal,
much that's pretty much what I use as a social network. Because I don't do a whole lot of tweeting or anything like that. But But Facebook, to me, and it's very distinct groups of people who are using those things. I think the people who use Reddit in that way are probably the smartest and the most well-read, the best looking. They have the larger penises.
Okay, well,
they get all the women.
If you think that, you need to head to two places on Reddit.
No, but
our politics,
and
our atheism.
Yeah, there's some other places on Reddit we could go that have worse people, but.
You been over to our atheism lately?
Just let me bring up some of the subreddits
I know what you're thinking. Please put your phone down. Please. I don't want to have to censor things that people can't see just because they sound bad enough.
But I think for
But no, seriously, our atheism, dude, it's just attacking drivel. Like, it's...
Sure.
It's not productive. It's not even productive because I'm all for, and that's, I think.
So you go to our real atheism.
Hold on.
And you get actual content. Maybe, actual discussion.
I've never been there.
But, yeah, it's true. Because
that's the kind of the platform for this show.
Yeah.
You know that, right? Like, like we want to talk about things in a light that, and we disagree all the time.
Sure.
Anybody that listens to this show knows that. You think something about a certain issue, I think another way. But the point is talking about it and looking at different points of view. Not in a way that'll, oh, maybe I am looking at it wrong, but just look at every viewpoint to a certain issue as opposed to how our atheism handles things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's just like, this is wrong, and of course religion's a sham. Like, if you believe, that's great, but why do you believe that? Where does that come from? Where have you come from? Where, you know, there's so much more, you know, again, which I think we try and do on the show a little bit more than a portion of Reddit.
Yeah. But yeah, on Facebook, I think it's just for morons and the passive aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't hold it against somebody if they have a Facebook page, but if they only have a Facebook page, yeah, I'm going to hold it against you.
Right.
But yeah, but in Reddit, even a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, if you had a grammatical error in the title of your post,
oh yeah,
downvoted to oblivion.
Yep,
like you're not. No one's going to see that post.
Yeah,
because the first person who reads it is going to downvote it. Now every day, two or three dozen.
Yeah, in the title of the post.
Posts with grammatical errors or spelling errors in the title of the post make it to not just the front page, my front page.
Right.
Okay. Now I'm going to read you some of the subreddits I'm subscribed to. They're not that bad. Okay.
I'll read them. I'll censor them if
okay.
I want.
Okay. This is what I...
I'm the all-powerful.
Give you a rundown of what I subscribe to.
I should be good.
It should be good. Okay. Ask historians. Ask Reddit. Ask science. A Song of Ice and Fire. Baseball. Blacksmith. Books. Canada. Blacksmith. Cardinals. Yeah. Cardinals. Cosplay. Does anybody else? Earth porn. Elder trees. Explain like I'm five. Fallout, fantasy baseball, frugal, Futurama, Game of Thrones, history,
bears,
humor,
beats,
IMAA,
Battlestar Galactica,
Lego, Lord of the Rings, news, no shit, Sherlock, philosophy, politics, RPG, science, sci-fi, Skyrim, space, television, day I learned, true Reddit, undelete, Wikipedia, world news, world politics, writing, and that's it. So no R funny, no WTF.
Yeah.
No, you know, our picks or our pets. Our WTF is
pretty much all severed limbs at this point.
Well, it's just what people can get people to shock with. But if you read it, it's news, science, history. Like, it's
more than just... Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not... I don't subscribe to stuff I think it's funny. It's stuff that I want to work my brain out with, right? Or that I'm specifically interested, like,
because
Lord
if
of the
you
Rings,
want
cosplay,
humor,
Song
you
of
know
Ice and Fire.
That 24/7, any time of the day or night, you just call up your boy... Your trusty co-host,
yeah.
And I've got humor on the fly.
Yeah, you got the free funny.
Yeah, I can just dispense it. No bandwidth, no nothing.
Yeah. Once again, you have a copious show notes. We've talked about nothing for the past 45 minutes.
No, we're moving down the list.
Okay.
We haven't hit any of the meat of the show.
Show media.
Speaking of meat, this next topic.
Speaking of meat, I cooked an entire turkey the other day. I did.
That's incredible.
Yep.
And I know without a doubt that you're not lying or that's not a joke.
There's some of it left over. We're grabbing some
that.
After the show.
I believe that. How did you cook it? Was it deep fried?
No, just
smoked?
Roasted in the oven.
It's about the most boring way to cook a turkey, but did you?
Salt?
Was there a special rub or was there like what?
No, just salt before I put it in. I just salted it up really good.
So you effectively turned a turkey into a ham.
You don't salt a ham.
No, but hams are really salty to begin with because it's a really salty meat.
Because they're cured, but...
Right. Well, whatever you want to call it.
turkey has such a fatty outer layer of skin.
Here we go.
So if you rub the salt on it.
Cooking time with Chef Matt.
It causes all the fat that's in the skin to turn into a hard crust.
Uh-huh.
And anything
that's exposed. Did you sprinkle cannabis? Did you stuff the turkey with cannabis?
No, I did not. That would be a waste of weed. Once it gets to 200 degrees, which you have to get it over at least 350 to cook a turkey, a 325. Once it gets to about 215 degrees, all the THC just evaporates. So unless when you open the oven door, you just take a big old huff.
Big inhale.
Yeah, every time you open up the oven door, Snoop it's not turkey. A good way to get stoned.
Yeah. That's incredible. We'll move on. I would like to try some of your turkey later, though.
Yeah. Although I would like to do a rum ham sometime.
A rum ham?
Yeah, like an Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Have you not seen that episode?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they party with the Guidos.
Right.
And, yeah.
Anyways. Rum ham! And milk steak.
Yeah.
I will take a milk steak
your
with
finest
your
milk.
Finest with your finest jelly beans.
Yeah.
Or serve with raw jelly beans rather. Anyways, great show. Moving on. This is a fascinating topic to me. Can you see it?
Yeah, go ahead. All right. Yeah, let's talk about this.
Do you want to start or do you want me to start? Because it was already on the notes before you told me the story from earlier.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay.
And then I'll add my anecdote.
I added this because a guy at work was talking about it. Like, we were just at work doing our work, and he was like, oh, hey, did you hear about this? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Brought it up. And the article that I pulled was USA Today. That's the one I'm going to link in the show notes. This is the one I'm going to quote and read right now. But apparently, to give you a little bit of precedent, there's a what's called a blood moon coming up, which is a red moon, a certain type of eclipse that turns the moon red.
It's from the light that's refracting from the sun. It's refracting through the Earth's atmosphere, right? And it's taking on the color of that we see in sunsets, right? The pinks and the gold, which is just sunlight refracting through a large part of the atmosphere. So when you have on the curvature of the Earth, when instead of sunlight coming directly through the atmosphere, right, we have it coming on an angle, which means it's cutting through the atmosphere. Therefore, it's when it leaves the Earth's atmosphere, it has a very reddish color. So the same color you see in the sunset is then going to be reflected onto the moon, and which is why it takes the reddish color.
Our Ask Matt.
Yeah. That was an RS science post. Anyway, go ahead.
I believe that. Anyways, here's the USA Today article. Every time the moon passes completely into the shadow of the Earth, it turns a reddish color, sometimes bright copper, other times the dark reddish brown of dried blood. The red color occurs because even when the Earth has moved directly between the moon and the sun, the scattered light from all the sunsets and sunrises on the rim of our globe still make it to the moon's surface.
Yeah. It's not the sunsets and the sunrises. It's just the fact that any light reflected or refracted through the Earth's atmosphere in an elongated path that goes more or less with the curvature of the Earth, you have those colors show up.
Right. And as you can see here in my notes, you can see my notes there.
Yeah.
What's it say there in all caps and bold, Matt?
And of course.
And of course.
Yeah.
Because
idiots are everywhere.
Here's what I said. A Christian pastor, that's in quotes, not to second guess what he believes or
no,
where
he's a Christian.
Where he's going
pastor.
When he dies, that's up to him.
His beliefs are pretty much in line with on the prophecy side of things. He's very vocal, but I don't think that his beliefs and his theologies are different at all than the average evangelical Christian. So I'm gonna put that out there.
I don't think that's the case.
Yes, he's just very vocal about the esoteric parts of the Bible.
I don't think that's the case.
About
the majority,
Old Testament law and about prophecy, he's very vocal on.
You're forgetting about all the old people in Christianity, though. They don't buy into astrology. Because that's the big thing for me. Like, the Bible says specifically, now certainly there are things that
Jewish
that
astrology?
Well, there are certain things that reference, you know, the end times and prophecy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't be ignored. But it says specifically in the Bible that astrologers are astrology is of the earth. And it's not biblical. It's not scriptural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not of God. So that's where I kind of look at this, and I'm like, yeah, okay, of course the stars are going to tell us this.
But why?
Like,
why does it?
Because the stars. Because
why?
That's
did,
not,
why did the Bible? Why did the Hebrew writers of the Old Testament decide to tell everybody astrology was bad? Why? Because it is.
Well, let's hear it from all.
Because other belief system. It's kind of like the Christmas thing. Like, too many Christians started to celebrate winter solstice,
mm-hmm.
so they had to move Jesus' birthday Jesus. And be like, okay, so to keep you from celebrating these pagan holidays,
yeah,
you know, we're gonna give you Jesus Christmas
instead. Jesus
is probably
going to come back on his birthday, and it'll be like June, you know, and he'll show up and he'll be like, yep, it's not Christmas.
It'll be March 31st.
Right.
Anyways,
yeah. So, okay, so this Christian pastor, the astronomy website earthsky.org suggests the phrase originated not with astronomers, and that's the phrase blood moon, not with astronomers, but with a Christian pastor named John Hagee and his 2013 book, quote, Four Blood Moons, Something is About to Change.
Yeah. Until this, I'd always heard it referred to as a harvest moon.
Yeah, I don't. Well, that's
because
I think
harvest
that blood
moons
moon is
do that
his kind of
a little
branding.
Bit. You know, they have it taken on an orange tint.
Yeah, but now if you like if you Google the phrase blood moon, like everybody, it's a blood moon now. So, according to Hagee's ministry website, the book quote explores the supernatural connection of certain celestial events to biblical prophecy. Now, I don't have a copy of that book. I didn't look at one, but I did find another article, which was on express.co.uk, UK newspaper, which I quoted in here, and the reason I pulled it up is because they quote the book more extensively than the USA Today article.
Yeah.
It says, quote, NASA's confirmed the tetrad, now that's when it happens four times in a row, this blood moon phenomenon or whatever, has only happened three times in more than 500 years, and that it's going to happen now. The first tetrad since the Middle Ages in 1493 saw the expulsion of the Jews by the Catholic Spanish Inquisition, which rocked Western Europe. The second coincided with the establishment of the State of Israel after thousands of years of struggle in 1949. Strangely, the last one occurred in 1967, far earlier than expected, precisely at the time of the Six-Day Arab-Israeli War. Mr. Hagee explains, quote, according to the biblical prophecy, world history is about to change dramatically. To get four blood moons, you need something absolutely extraordinary in astrological terms.
Nope. Not true.
Yeah, I think you just need science. And this is one, and did you hear what I said there, Matt? Because that's typically not the stance that I take.
You did.
On these
you
things.
Invoked the holy name of science, our Lord and Savior, science, which doesn't usually happen for you. No. But here's the thing. First off, the Earth has a very elliptical orbit, meaning, okay, like it's
meaning
not
when it goes to
round.
The gym, it doesn't hit the treadmill; it hits the elliptical.
No. Meaning, let's stop joking for a minute. Meaning, when the Earth goes around the sun.
Right.
It's not completely round circular orbit.
Sure.
It's oblong, okay? Mm-hmm. It wobbles a couple degrees to
every time.
To what we would think is the north and the south axis, right, of the sun. So the variations that you can have, and sometimes you can predict eclipses.
Yeah. As they do,
very,
you can look up
very well.
Right.
But every once in a while, an eclipse will come along.
Goes outside of that.
That we weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Earth wobbles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The sun also wobbles. It moves. Mm-hmm. They're not stationary objects. They're objects in the sky following a gravitational pattern. And so when you have other planets that are entering into the mix, especially Jupiter, Saturn.
Or even big asteroids.
Large asteroids.
Mm-hmm. Look at that, Matt. See science.
Yeah. you have variation in
right.
the orbit and the path that the Earth takes around the sun, which means variations in moons, stars, not necessarily stars, but moons, sunrises, sunsets, and eclipses, and the quote-unquote blood moons. And so to say, oh, what happened in 1967, much sooner than anybody expected, but it was to signify, you know, the whatever this Camp David Peace Accords or whatever it was, no. Also, something that happens three times in 500 years, astronomically?
Not an anomaly.
That's not an anomaly. That's actually pretty frequent for something to happen three times in 500 years.
Well, yeah, look at what's that one comet that comes around like 100 and every 100 and whatever years?
Yeah.
Like it's pretty common for things to take that much time.
A long time? Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, I'm not trying to put this gentleman on blast. I'm sure he's.
Oh, I am. He's a terrible person.
I'm sure that he is coming from a place of what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this: I in terms of categorization, I put this type of literature and this type of viewpoint in with Jesus will return on X date. That's just what
I chalk it up to. I would say old man narcissism.
Right.
Because
he's selling his book. Yeah,
yeah. If you want to talk to somebody about prophecy. Find the oldest person in the church, and they're probably going to know the most. Why? Because when you're getting ready to die, you want to know what's going to happen in the end, right?
Makes sense, yeah.
You get more fascinated with, okay. But also, these old men in the church who get so fascinated with philosophy, or with the end times, with prophecy, right?
Right.
I think it comes from a kind of a narcissistic mindset in which they still see themselves as the center of the universe. The ego is pretty much completely in control of everything.
Right.
They still see themselves as the center of everything. Mm-hmm. So if they're going to die, then obviously it must be the end times, right? If they're getting old enough to die,
that's an interesting.
It obviously must be the end times for everybody, because how could the world go on without me? And ultimately, I think that's what religion does. It gives you the excuse to have the mindset of, well, how could everything go on without me? Like, how are you guys going to survive without me? The same way we did before.
Yeah, for thousands of years. Right.
Well, before, but also the same thing we did while you were here.
Right.
We're just not going to talk to you anymore.
Hold on a second. I gotta make a quick production note. Okay. Corporations, religion. Okay, you've attacked two out of the three things that you have to for our contract. Yeah. So we should make sure you hit the third.
Anyway, what else were we going to bring up about John Hagee?
That was about it.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a bunch of other notes here, all from that UK article. Corresponds. About to change, extraordinary natural. Quote, every time this has happened in the last 500 years, it has coincided with tragedy for the Jewish people, followed by triumph, which is just a note. Like, that's just something you're observing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, and once again for Israel, the timing of this tetrad is remarkable. The first of the four blood moons will come on April 15th this year during Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, it's coming during Passover.
Yeah.
I might get the flu over Passover. Like, that's to me, that's no difference in the two.
Yeah.
The second will be on October 8th at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. On October 4th, 2015, during Passover, we will have another blood moon. Then finally on September 28th, during next year's Feast of Tabernacles, the fourth and final moon will dawn. So I guess we can expect Christ sometime next year?
Yeah, probably.
but as Christians, if we would call ourselves that, don't the scriptures say to expect him all the time? Did I read that? Is that a subtext or does that actually say that?
Yeah.
Oh, it actually says that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
No, not quite yet. But John Hagee, I don't. I think he's a charlatan. I think that he's a madman who has been given a lot of power. I don't know what's going to happen to Israel in the near future.
I wouldn't claim to.
They actually uncovered they were doing some digging the other week. And
they're always want to do.
In Israel, they were expanding some sort of pipeline or something, and they found a Egyptian sarcophagus of an Egyptian royal, right, mm-hmm. Who was unearthed in Israel.
And was he still alive?
No, he was dead.
That only happens in the movies.
He was dead. But entombed as like a pharaoh would be.
Because to me, that would be the most fascinating you could find. By digging something up.
Yeah.
But I'll just leave it at that.
So the first thing that popped in my mind was...
And you know how I feel about... I hate to cut you off again, but you know how I feel about space exploration?
Yeah.
Same way. We shouldn't go down. We shouldn't go up.
Yeah.
Live here, people. Figure it out here. When we've created utopia here, when everyone's healthy and no one ever dies,
uh-huh.
and we're done warring and there's no taxes, then we can look in the stars and start digging down below.
Yeah.
Okay?
What if the answers are down below or up in the stars? They're
not possible.
Okay.
Not possible.
Yep. So the history, so the past and the future don't exist.
Correct.
All that matters now is present.
Yep. The next 15 seconds in front of your nose is all that you should worry about to be a productive member of society and clock into work on time and pay your taxes and go home and love your wife and your beautiful son, Lucas.
So some sort of weird conservative hedonism.
Weird. Now, conservative hedonism, you've got that right. But weird, come on, where am I wrong, Matt?
You've effectively cut me off. I'm just going to keep talking. So last night, I was hanging out in the bedroom, and my roommate Sydney calls me into her room, and I go over there and visit with her for a minute, and we start to talk, and we were starting to talk, and she pulls out a book. This book.
This book right here.
This Four Blood Moons book that we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Which is why when you showed me the show notes, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, yeah.
Yeah.
So that must mean that astrologically we're supposed to talk about this.
So I thumbed through the book a little bit.
Yeah.
and historically, factually, it looks kind of like he's got his ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole premise of the book to me is him writing a book about prophecy.
Right.
So that he can write another book about prophecy.
Uh-huh.
It just, I mean, it just happens that he published it a year ago, and this was coming up in 2 years, more than enough time to get the word out about his book and about, and obviously now she, you know, she's got
USA
a copy.
Today, all kinds of, yeah.
This book is flying off the shelves,
I'm sure.
He's making a whole lot of money and laughing all the way to the bank because he doesn't believe in any of this. Guarantee it. Well, I don't think that not one person who has a television show in which they preach Jesus honestly believes what they're talking about. I don't think so, because I think if they were truly an introspective Christian who understood the word, they would realize that having a television show that talks about Christianity and that preaches at you is it does more harm than good. No one's ever been saved, really truly saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really become a Christian,
mm-hmm. A disciple of Christ,
through listening to a sermon, through simply listening to sermons. I don't believe that. To become a Christian takes discipleship.
Yeah.
It takes intimate discussions with another person, talking about ideas of Christianity and it. First off, I would say that 10% of the people, 5% of the people out there who say that they're Christians are actually Christians.
And that's scriptural too. Like it says in the Bible that when we get there, we're going to see a lot of people that we weren't expecting to see there, and mm-hmm. we're not going to see a lot of people we were expecting to see there.
Yeah, when we get there, if we even can recognize people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do an end times show. And we need to do a paranormal government conspiracy show.
Anyways,
we've got a lot of shows.
Anyway, so she
go ahead and put that one on the whiteboard.
She hands me the book and she says,
"Yeah."
And I start to thumb through it, and it's very interesting. And you know, to me, not interesting in as in I believe this, but interesting as in
there's a viewpoint. Yeah,
you know, this is a viewpoint that's different from my own. That's esoteric and weird. And yeah, so I'm gonna
and is based on some factual things.
Yeah, so she, you know, we were talking a little bit about the end times. And she says, you know not to take the mark of the beast, right?
As if they're down the street.
And with rubber stamp, just marking beasts on people's
like a vacuum salesman, just, could I interest you in the mark today?
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah. I imagine like some pimply-faced 16-year-old kid with like a tray of like cut up sandwiches.
A summer job, yeah.
Yeah, with like a tray of Sbarro sandwiches cut up real into samples and be like,
could I interest you in the beast?
Yeah. Mark of the beast. Mark not really wanting to be there, thumbing through their phone whenever their boss isn't looking.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever Satan's busy, you know, causing global catastrophe, you get the chance to thumb through your phone.
I stifled a laugh as best I could.
Yeah.
And,
now what is...
Just just let that one go. Just let it go.
Well, no, that's interesting, though.
Because honestly,
did
I don't...
Did you get into what she thinks it is? Because, you know,
no,
there's some...
No, I just dropped it.
Because I knew a guy...
there's a lot of beliefs out there. Like, one of them is...
it's a barcode.
Yeah, well, also one of them is www, is 666, in some sort of Sumerian or Assyrian language or whatever.
Language or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so the whole internet is the mark of the beast, that sort of thing.
The most interesting one I saw, did I tell you about this? You know the energy drink brand Monster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you've told me about this one.
Yeah, the M, the three.
Yeah. Well,
apparently, if you kind of cut that up, it looks like the Hebrew, the letter 6. And mm-hmm. so the Monster, the M is 666, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So every time you drink a Monster, taking the mark.
Yeah. I don't think that's true.
But it could be. Satan's under every rock, Matt. You got to be vigilant.
remember Jesus didn't say, okay, Apostle John, we're going to sit down here in Patmos. Now, this is what's going to happen. First off, there's going to be a number that's 666. And if you don't take that number, you're not going to be able to buy or sell, okay? It's not what happened.
Right.
John had a dream.
Uh-huh.
We could say a hallucination.
Oh, here he goes.
And he had dreamed, his mind came up with the entire book of Revelation, okay? The entire book of Revelation wasn't transcribed to him by an angel. It wasn't taken off of golden plates.
It wasn't. So what, you trusted more if it
revealed,
came off of
gold? No, price. It wasn't revealed to him through the burning bush. Okay.
Okay, right.
The entire book of Revelation
dream, as it were.
Happened inside John's mind while he was in jail.
Yeah.
Just we're going to let that sink in for all our listeners. The entire book of Revelation, everything that's written down in the book of Revelation, happened entirely inside of John's own mind while he was serving a long jail sentence in a secluded place.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we're going to let that sink in for a second. Now that we've got, let that sink in, what we know is that there's never been a prisoner ever who's made up some sort of fantasy world while they've been in jail to mask the fact that they're in jail so that their mind can go somewhere else. That's never happened ever. 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 See, no, wait. All prisoners do that. All prisoners create a fantasy place in their mind where they can go when they're just laying in their bunk or doing whatever. Like, your mind creates its own reality, right? I mean, even solipsism, like saying that the only thing that exists is my own mind. Everything that I see, perceive as reality is simply a figment of my own imagination.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but that's beside the point. But so to look at Revelation and say everything in the book is completely literal. Now, yes, maybe it is prophecy. Maybe it is completely
true. And maybe some
true.
Is literal.
Maybe the book of Revelation is true. But to say that it's all literal is a complete misnomer. Because what you're seeing, even if it was a vision that John had of the future,
mm-hmm.
he's still seeing the future and then trying to describe it using first century Greek terms.
Yeah, that's true.
Duh. Like, he's not going to get all the facts right.
Yeah.
So, to say somebody can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, maybe he's just talking about a cashless society.
Or credit. Oh.
Well cashless society, okay. Maybe the mark.
If you want to buy a home, what do you have to have? Good credit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in the 400s or
well,
above.
Well, I know that the mark of the beast, if you take the letter B
mm-hmm.
and you take one of the top part of the letter B, the one small d that makes up the top part of the letter B, and then you take the other one and you separate those two, mm-hmm. and then you draw two lines through it.
Golden Arches, McDonald's.
And you split it up. What ahead. You get is the Sumerian name for 666.
Uh-huh.
But if you squash that together, it becomes a symbol for Bitcoin.
Okay. No, that's not. Mm-hmm. Nope.
The golden B with two slashes through it?
Nope.
You know what that also represents?
No, this is false.
Ball. Mm-hmm. The Sumerian. The
Baal.
No, but it's Baal. Ball. It's ball.
It's not ball. It's, no one's it's ever not pronounced Baal. That way.
It is ball. It's pronounced ball.
I wish we had a real live Philistine man here to correct you. Moving
it's
on.
Baal. It's Baal.
Moving anyway, on. Yeah, no, interesting just, thoughts.
Yeah,
we'll cover this last story really briefly. We are over an hour, but no, you do. I mean, you make some fair points, and I don't think going back to the point that I made, I lump it in the category of people that say Jesus is coming back on X, you know, a specific date, because, and even people that do that. You know, you have hype, you go on talk shows, whatever, maybe you write a book about why you think that's the case or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And you make your paycheck or you have your moment of publicity or what have you. And then the day after, you wake up and Jesus hasn't come, just like every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're still in that. And the only way we can know when Jesus is coming is when someone says Jesus is coming on this day, because in Scripture, it says that no man knows the day that comes. So as soon as someone says that this is the day when Jesus is coming, well, we automatically know that that's not the day that Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Like, by definition, when Jesus said, the only qualifier he gave for when I'm coming is a day that no man knows.
Yeah.
So if someone says that that's a day, well, we automatically know that that's not the day that he's coming.
It's
so
just,
those should be sin-filled, hedonistic days, if you're asking me. Because, well, you don't have to worry about Jesus barging in. Uh-huh. Every other day, though, he could barge in. But on the day that someone says he's coming, well, Jesus is not showing up today, mm-hmm. so be about your business.
Yeah. It's just a way for a man who...
I don't actually think that. But
it's just a way for a man who died to keep people stringing people along. Oh, yeah, I'm coming back. Yeah, sometime soon. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'll definitely be coming back. Just wait. and it just strings them on infinitely. On it just
well, not only just, that, which is one way to look at it, but if you,
that's the way I look at it. I think it's a way to say.
So you think? You're one of those that thinks the first century apostles came up with the.
He's coming back in the future sometime. So if we, I don't think they came up with it. I think they honestly believed it, but you know they no, said.
But you don't. But you, oh, it's sometime it Jesus' words.
Hmm?
Like, do you think it was Jesus' words that he said, "I'm coming back"?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
can't really know for sure. But yeah, it's giving it a date for him back in the future
and doing this, contextualizing it. If you look in the scriptures, well, what does it say about time? 1,000 years is as a day is as 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that saw Jesus. Walked and talked with Jesus and said, because they assume when Jesus said, "I'll be back," they're like, "Oh, okay, that's got to be like in a couple of weeks, right?"
Yeah.
Like, he's going to go prepare mansions for us 600 to 800 people, you know, and then he'll be back to get us and we'll be done. You know, and this is obviously tribulation because, oh, there's sexual immorality in the church. Like, that's how they wrote. They, mm-hmm. I'm not making this up. That's how they wrote. That's how they looked
at it.
Yeah. And so we're doing the same thing, right? Or end times people that are into that kind of thing and prophecy. Yeah.
But
even contextually, 1,000 years is as a day is as 1,000 yeah. years. So when he's saying I'll come back and then he's going to prepare mansions, well, no one knows when that is.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to
according to scripture, at least.
To tell when the rapture is going to come from, or when the end times are going to come from, looking at like sin and debauchery and bad teaching inside of the church,
yeah.
It's always happened.
Then he's late, right?
Yeah,
if you look at it by that, right?
Yeah, that's been happening since he first said bye.
Well, you do know that the first round of even if you go back to scripture, the first round of people got it, had it with by that point. Before we could even get to the point of sending his son, he was like, "Okay, you guys ruined it. Noah, look here, just float along for a while, and we'll wipe all these people out because they've ruined it.
Yeah,
they've ruined it." So
I am really, really glad though that God did not kill Emma Watson, because I don't know if I could live in a world without Emma Watson.
Is this a Noah joke? Is this
yeah, it's a Noah joke. She's in the movie Noah. Roland Emmerich's new master poop.
I don't know why that didn't amuse me so much. Master poop. That's the title of the episode, by the way. Anyways.
No, what else do we have to talk about?
Well, okay, here, let's make this last story. It's kind of interesting to me, and really I only brought it up to make one point, and that's hypocrisy.
Oh.
Because that's all it really is. It's from the New York Times, but it's basically Obama's running around saying, well, it's terrible that in the United States a woman makes 77 cents to every dollar that a man makes, which according to the stats is true.
Yeah.
And in the White House, it's 88 cents.
Yeah.
So they're only 11 really cents better than...
Still better. Still doing better.
Fair point. Fair point.
Okay, so the real number here to me... If you want to make the case you're about to make, the real number we need to know first is what the average is,
uh-huh.
and has been for the past 20 years, and we need to know what Obama's White House is. Then we need to look at...
Compare all of them, yeah.
Yeah, compare every other White House since the 1970s and see what their...
Oh, because I'm sure, even going back to even like before those laws were in place, like,
yeah.
And I'm not being sexist here, like, but that's just... Women just didn't have those kinds of jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the way it was.
Exactly.
And what, for bad or good or whatever you want to say, or maybe women are more empowered now, they can get those jobs, or women in the military, women in defense, however you want to dice that, I don't care, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's just how it was. It's just how the times were.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you make a good point, but my point is that it's just another politician being hypocritical.
Yeah.
Whether it's Obama or whoever. I don't, you know, it's just from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. I made the point last show, I'm making it this show.
Yeah.
They're all full of crap.
Obama.
Yeah.
I don't like Obama. I don't like him.
Now, would you say you don't like him anymore, or you just don't like him?
I was okay with it at first.
Were you duped by promises, Matt?
Yeah, I was.
Were you really?
Duped by promises. No, I didn't vote for the guy, but like... I kind of bought into it. I was, you know, I was like, ho-hum. I was like, oh, okay, well, it might be good.
Let's see what this guy's got. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I, to be fair, more so in his second term than his first. Because mm-hmm. in his first, I was in a very different place, and I was very much, the world has ended because we elected a socialist. I'll be honest. That's where I was coming from.
Yeah.
His second term, I was very much more, well, the world didn't end, so,
mm-hmm.
okay, he says he's going to reform healthcare. We do need that.
Yeah.
What do you got? Prove me wrong, because I don't have a problem with, I'm not your card-carrying GOP, like, dude that's just like into all those things, because I'm not. Mm-hmm. I have big, mm-hmm. big problems with the way the GOP does things. And so a progressive president who's funny and well-spoken, let's see what you got.
Sure.
He hasn't impressed me. But I did. I will say I did give him more of a chance in the second term than the first.
Yeah.
And he didn't impress.
Just everybody out there listening, Elizabeth Warren. If you don't know who Elizabeth Warren is, in a year you will, because she will be it would be her and Hillary for the Democratic nomination, and she's going to win by a landslide. She's going to totally trounce Hillary. She's going to be like another Obama coming out from nowhere. And she's gotten a lot of press in the past couple of years. She's a Democrat from, oh God, I can't remember where she's from now. But yeah, Elizabeth Warren. She's the kind of person that we need in Washington.
Really?
And in the White House.
So you're saying that. I'm not going to espouse
like,
that,
I honestly
but I will
believe
look
that.
It up.
It's a soundbite that everyone's going to say. Blank and blank, farting me poop pants is the kind of person we need in Washington working for us. But no, Elizabeth Warren really is.
I would vote for a man named Farting McPoop Pants just on that.
Yeah, she's fought financial corruption at every level she's ever been at, and has successfully won for the most part. She's proved to be pretty much uncorruptible during her long career as a politician, and I think that she's going to get and go for the Democratic nomination for president, and I think she's going to win, because if it's Elizabeth Warren versus Chris Christie, there's no way that Christie wins, because he's just another good old boy politician, right? Just another corrupt politician, and everyone knows that Chris Christie is incredibly corrupt. Whether or not you think that he's a good leader, good legislator.
My Snapchats here. Go on.
Still. Okay, you're not even paying attention.
Well, go ahead. It's good content. Okay. I'm checking my Snapchats.
Okay. Anyway, Elizabeth Warren, folks.
Christie. I know that he's probably going to be the Republican nomination. He's being set up that way, even by publications like Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm.
It's too late, though.
He doesn't have my vote.
If he had done it 4 years ago, he might have won. He definitely would have.
No, it's not. It's not too late. He's lost weight. He had to go in that direction.
No. What I'm saying is it's too late because he's a better politician. He was a better politician a year ago. It's because we know too much about him now. He's been in the public light for another. The fact that he.
Can we just make fat jokes about him?
No, we can't. The fact that he is probably going to run in 2016 instead of 2012, is that in 2012 he was the Republican golden boy. Everybody looked at him and said, oh, this guy is the future of the Republican Party,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now we know about him. Mm-hmm. Now we know who he actually is, and no one's going to vote for him. If he had ran in 2016, he would have been president for 8 years, or 2012, he would have been president for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's waiting until 2016 because
he was kind of
afraid of Obama.
So who do you see on the GOP side in terms of nomination?
I don't know. I don't know.
Let me throw out a name, and I want to know what you think.
Rand Paul, probably not. Paul Ryan, yeah, I don't know.
Rand Paul,
Marco Rubio,
right.
I don't know. But honestly, I think it would be Jeb Bush.
Really?
Yeah. The Bushes, as a family, have the most power. They have the most old influence. And that name still carries a lot of weight and draws a lot of water with the over 50 crowd.
A shame on our generation. That's the voting crowd,
they're gonna see,
by the way.
They're going to see... they're going
to
see the name Bush and immediately...
Just check the box. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because they equate the Bushes with the Reagans.
So, yeah, exactly. Because they rubbed shoulders and they hung out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it
probably did blow together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure. So it'd probably be Jeb Bush first. So hopefully it's Jeb Bush
Ain't
versus...
capitalism great?
Hopefully it's Jeb Bush versus Elizabeth Warren or... Honestly, I want to see Chris Christie versus Elizabeth Warren because it would be really good to see that overhyped masculinity
versus a woman.
That sex almost sexist attitude that Christie has.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
fair. That'd be fun to watch.
Christie is
so politics are entertainment, is what you're saying.
Christie to me, his whole attitude is alpha male dickhead feminist. Okay? Or anti-feminist.
Uh-huh.
Women are objects, and he's going to get his way because he's the alpha male. That to me is Christie's whole attitude. And so it would be interesting to see somebody like Elizabeth Warren go up against him in a debate and just to see the social kind of gaffes candidate. He makes by dismissing her. Well, because I think he would be very dismissive of her in a debate.
And I'll say this, he's the kind of candidate for sure, and make no mistake, the people that are on his campaign or looking into having a campaign for him, these are the conversations they're having. But he's the kind of candidate that in the second round of debates can make some offhanded remark and it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, that's exactly the kind of candidate he is. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's an argument that can be made for that's what we need or whatever, or what, you know, but no, he's got that going on.
But I honestly think it would be Christie or Jeb Bush, just because Christie has the name recognition. He has a lot of people who like him, even though we know that he's a crook. There's still a lot of people who like him. But I honestly, if I had put money on it, I would say Jeb Bush, because no one knows anything about Jeb Bush except for Floridians, and they're drunk most of the time. So, you know.
Or eating faces on bath salts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, yeah, you're probably right, and we'll see. That'll be more conversations we have later on, too. Yeah. But, anyways, the only other thing I had was another story of hypocrisy about a mega pastor that quit a church due to a quote moral failing.
Yeah, he had sex with somebody in the office.
Probably, they didn't actually make it public, but
yeah, so. But honestly, that doesn't bug me at all.
Everybody's hypocrites but me and Matt. Thanks for listening.
No, real quick, that honestly doesn't bug me at all because, everybody fails morally, and just because you're holding somebody up to this super high standard doesn't mean that they're going to fail.
Or that they're not going to fail, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It doesn't bug me. It doesn't bug me.
Everybody's hypocrites but me and Matt.
Exactly.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.